Good Tuesday. Today is October the 29th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, weather making headlines as we're going to talk about the changes between La Nina, El Nino, and what's going on out in the ocean with the temperatures. All that's impacting our weather and could going into the winter months. We'll take a look at that and more after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
The weather making agricultural headlines as Pacific temperatures seem to show a slower La Nina development compared to 2020. La Nina, which is the cool weather phase of the Pacific Ocean El Nino Southern Oscillation, otherwise known as ENSO, the recurring climate pattern, is certainly taking its time to develop this year. Pacific Ocean temperatures for the ENSO region, which extends from the international dateline in the Central Pacific to the Peruvian coast in South America along the equator, shows only a couple areas of cooling, and even in those areas, the cooler water temperature at most have declined 2 degrees Celsius below what would be average. Between those cooler sections, the equatorial Pacific had a larger area with water temperatures anywhere on average from around 1 degree Celsius above average. Forecasts for La Nina have had several revisions during the past 3 months. The NOAA Climate Prediction Center's latest forecast calls for a 60% chance for La Nina to emerge by November and persist through that first quarter of 2025. The DTN long-range weather risk analysis also expects La Nina to develop soon, with its peak cooling approximately in December. The forecast is for Pacific cooling to reach the maximum of a negative 0.8 degrees Celsius. This is much warmer than the 2020 through 2023 La Nina, which had a maximum value of a negative 1.3 Celsius in October, November, December of 2020. The 2020 through 2023 La Nina also had 3 month periods of that reading of a negative 1 degree Celsius or below. Recently, dry primarily U.S. crop areas might welcome variability from an established La Nina winter precipitation pattern. As of mid-October, USDA's Ag and Drought Assessment found that 62% of U.S. corn production, 54% of U.S. soybean production, and 52% of U.S. wheat production were in areas affected by the drought. In a related story, pasture conditions continue to be on the decline. While much of the country needs moisture, certain areas continue to see pastures move into that very poor to poor condition. Nebraska moved to the negative side with 12 points fewer in the good to excellent category at 15%, 13 points more in the very poor to poor category now at 57%. Other nearby states are also suffering, with Iowa having 8 points fewer. Similarly, in Oklahoma, they lost 7 points from the good to excellent pastures. That state is now rated at 51% poor to very poor. Now, several Delta and Southeastern states also need moisture. States that see a shift from good pastures to very poor include Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Arkansas. Now, a positive move maybe in pasture range is more seen in Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, quite a ways away from here. Wyoming saw a 9-point move to the good to excellent category at 31%, and 15 points fewer in the poor to very poor, while Colorado added 10 points in the good to excellent category at 40% now. They also have seen their gaining ground moisture on the other side, with 14 points fewer noted as poor to very poor. Then down in the southwest, New Mexico had the biggest improvement of the week in the good to excellent category, with a 15-point movement at 35% and 14 points less in the poor to very poor conditions at 36%. Now, producers all across the nation are anxious for moisture to help improve pastures and soil moisture going into the late fall and winter months. That's obviously true, especially here in the Buckeye State, as a lot of our pastures, especially in the southern part of the state, are definitely struggling. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now, talk a little bit about climate smart agriculture and different practices in rural development opportunities. USDA's Rod Bain tells us more.
Now, when you hear climate smart agriculture in the context of USDA's involvement, you may think about the Partnership for Climate Smart Commodities program or agencies directly involved in conservation efforts like the Natural Resources Conservation Service or Farm Service Agency. Yet Undersecretary for Rural Development Basil Gooden is quick to point out,
my agency helping to connect the dots between smart agricultural practices and the health and economic well-being of communities in general.
The Undersecretary at the recent Global Agricultural Productivity event in Washington, D.C., explained the interconnection between agriculture as an industry and a way of life and the economic, social, even physical health of rural communities.
The more that we can invest and help people understand that all these things are connected, they're not isolated. Your health, when you have improved health outcomes, you have improved educational outcomes. Improved educational outcomes improve the overall well-being of your communities.
Undersecretary Gooden's understanding of this connection comes as an operator of a Virginia cattle farm. Where Climate Smart Ag practices come in is in part incentivization through USDA programs.
There's a lot of resources that we have at USDA really to sort of help farmers, producers understand not only the impact, but also things that they can adopt. Climate mitigation practices that could be adopted.
Which in turn would provide potential revenue to rural communities. However, the Undersecretary also sees an important benefit of climate smart farm practices for producers beyond monetary or ecological areas.
It helps producers take ownership of the solution.
Regarding innovative ag approaches, particularly from a climatic perspective, which in turn can generate consumer interest in climate smart commodities.
The markets will move if consumers are stressing that they want to see climate smart agriculture commodities in their grocery stores. And I always would tell farmers and producers, let's disrupt our practices before the consumers have to disrupt it for us.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.